All right, we are here, second hour of Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, folks, the pot's boiling. It's about to boil over, but we cannot lose our minds. We have to purge those uncontrollable emotions and stay very stoic and very methodical and very strategic. And we have to be ready. And unfortunately, this time we're living in, you are not going to be shown mercy. So unfortunately, when the SHTF moment hits in your life, I'm not going to give you any advice whether you should show mercy or not. Okay? That's something you're going to have to decide in your own spirit, within your own worldview, your own philosophy, your own construct. There's a lot of people out here that are going to be merciless towards you. Okay? And so keep your head screwed on tight. All right? And think. You know, there's a lot of raging seas around us right now. Think where you are geographically. What kind of political actors are in charge at that time? Okay, think strategically. You know, the founders of this country were, this wasn't conventional warfare, all right? And so there's a lot of forces arrayed against us right now in our own government. We've got a lot of people that are traitors, domestic enemies, that are wearing robes, sitting in judgeships right now, that are sitting in mayorships, that are sitting on county and city councils right now, that are your sworn enemies. And many of them are too stupid to even know their own philosophy, that they are Marxists, that they are basically domestic enemies of our founding document. And so this is a tough time to be alive. It's almost, you know, it's a destiny thing, and a lot of the listeners at RBN are quite older, and they're in their 70s and so forth, and what you guys, your strategy is going to have to be something different. You're going to have to find people near you that are going to, that you can take care of in your way, that they're going to try to take care of your safety and be a wedge of protection against you guys. All right. So let's talk about the USS Bonham Richard LHD-6 on fire in the National City, San Diego Naval Station, where I've spent time. It's a base kind of close down there to the Mexican border. Okay, National City. It's a WASP-class amphibious assault ship, third ship of the U.S. Navy to bear the name. She was named in honor of John Paul Jones's famous frigate, which he had named in French Good Man Richard. Okay, Bonham, Good Man, in honor of Benjamin Franklin, U.S. ambassador to France at the time. Richard is derived from Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac. Isn't that interesting? That's the ship. Okay. Now, can get clip three ready. We've got three churches burned, a couple Mary statues vandalized in the last number of days. So we're seeing people getting accosted and abused, trying to go to church in parts of this country by your BLM Antifa goons. So it's moving to another level now, okay? It's the war on Christians, okay? Now, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a Norse Odinist, Wotan type guy, whatever you are, if you're going to, you know, you're going to let your white Christian racial brethren get accosted, because it's, you know, if you notice, it's nobody going into any black churches. It's just white Christians that are being messed with. Okay. So you guys are going to have to decide where you're at on that. But Ken, let's roll clip three.
Welcome to the Prophecy Club. Today we're going to be talking about beaten pulpits, burning churches. First of all, back in 2011, as you recall, I've read this many times, Shane Warren was watching television. All of a sudden, it turned into a vision of the future. He saw a weather broadcaster. Dollars were blowing in the wind, worthless as leaves. The next thing he saw was a New Madrid fault, basically splitting America. He also said that the devaluing of our dollar caused major rioting in the streets. He saw signs saying, "I want my entitlement." What are we seeing right now? I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I probably got 30 emails all telling me that coins have been pulled all across the nation. If you're going to buy a burger someplace, don't be surprised by what they can't give you coins. You must use a credit card. That's all part of the new financial system that we're getting. Now let's go to Terry Bennett. Terry said, "I saw the governmental area. We'll go through a dramatic change in our government." Well, the election of Donald Trump fulfilled that, but there's more. "There would be a time of anarchy." Now, what's anarchy? That means no police. That means abolish the police, defund the police. That's what anarchy is. In other words, no government rule. "A time of anarchy and chaos." We are there now. "For a while, we'll have a fractional government," which means basically our government come down to the state level, which to me says that there's no federal level government. Now, all these times I have been thinking, well, that's probably because of the arrests. When you arrest and you fulfill or you serve 176,436 sealed indictments, probably most of those are top government people, and that would eliminate the government to fulfill that. But based upon what Dana Coverstone says, it may be something more. We'll get that in a second. Let me finish reading this. "So our government come down to the state level because the military has to step in, having seized control of our federal government." Now, let's talk about that a second. He says that the military will step in and seize control of our federal government. He said, "You'd call it a coup, but in all honesty, it'll be to help our nation." Now, I don't think our federal government taking over, removing Trump from office, would be helping our nation. But we'll get to that in a second. "Having to seize control of the federal government, you'd call it a coup, but in all honesty, it would be to help our nation. That's why the military will step in." Now, let's go to what Dana Coverstone, if I can get his name right, Coverstone said. "I saw in Washington, D.C., burning, set ablaze. I saw capitals surrounded. I saw state houses, state capitals surrounded with people screaming, making outrageous demands." Now, here's the point. "I saw all the curtains pulled in the Oval Office in the White House. I saw nobody moving around. I was shown inside the actual Oval Office, and no one in that office, no one was seated in the seat. There was no cabinet members, no secretary, no one in the Oval Office. I saw a long conference table. I saw senators, but I did not see Congress." Now, what's going on? Let's go back to what Terry Bennett said. "For a while, we'll have a fractional government, which means basically our government come down to the state level because the military is stepping in and seizing control of our federal government." That sounds to me like what happens is martial law is declared. Now, let me talk about that. So I had
all
right,
to look go it ahead up. And stop it there.
Oh.
You know, Mark Milley, now he's jumped on board. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he's jumped on board with renaming all the bases. You know, again, the Confederates were traitors and blah, 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 blah. We have all this history with the Civil War and all that. And now you got all these freaking 3- and 4-star generals, Petraeus, Milley, and all. "Oh, we need to rename these bases." Nah, 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 nah. Give me a break. You ain't got nothing better to do than play social cultural revolution. That's why I hate these generals, these freaking officers. Some of them are the worst. They're all caught up in these little scandals, wife swapping, Kay Griggs stuff. I hate all them bastards because they're all compromised. And then they want to come send troops in to run the country and into the ground, turn us into some fourth world, you know, good aesthetic military coup. Yeah, that's what we want is a military coup. I mean, look, if these guys were constitutional patriots, okay, and they were going to restore constitutional government, you think these guys are going to do that? Half of these guys are Marxists. They've all sworn false oaths. They run roughshod of the Constitution. They're doing all this research at DARPA. Jeez, implanting our poor kids with who knows what in their brains. And all these fruit salad chess guys are all, they're all going to save us. Let's see here. Good old Charlie Daniels, dead, 83 years old. You know, he's been involved with a couple projects, you know, Revelation, the movie, I believe, and something else. But, you know, it's fascinating the timing of, you know, where all this is going on. And then, you know, pretty big guy in the Patriot circles, Charlie Daniels. Now, I've kind of thrown Charlie under the bus once or twice for getting caught up in the Iran-Israel stuff. You know, getting sucked into that, kind of your evangelical Zionist kind of stuff. But let's, Ken, get clip two ready. This is true news talking about the Supreme Court Chief Justice. This might have fell under your radar. Go ahead and roll two real quick.
United States Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts was recently found with a bloodied face. The incident happened on June 21st, but the Supreme Court never told anybody until late yesterday. America's top judge was hospitalized overnight. The Washington Post was the first news outlet to report the story. The Supreme Court released a statement saying, quote, the Chief Justice was treated at a local hospital on June 21 for an injury to his forehead sustained in a fall while walking for exercise near his home. The injury required sutures, and out of an abundance of caution, he stayed in the hospital overnight and was discharged the next morning. We have some questions. Where did the accident happen precisely? How did the Chief Justice trip and fall? What object caused the head wound? How many stitches were required to close the wound? Who saw the Chief Justice covered in blood? Why was this story covered up for several weeks? Edward Zoll and Doc Burkhardt have questions too. Let's start today's edition of True News. First thought came to my mind was Justice Scalia.
That's right.
Found dead. In a bed in Texas in a hunting ranch with a pillowcase over his head or pillow
yes.
over his head. And ambulance never called, 911 never called, the police never called.
The funeral home was.
But they transported the body several hundred miles
yes.
with no law enforcement and no medical examiners present to see the Justice Scalia's body before they left. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Stop it. Go ahead and stop it there, Ken, and forward to the next section at 1538. Now, I covered that the night it happened when Justice Scalia died. He was at that ranch owned by Mr. Poindexter, International Order of St. Hubertus, Catholic hunting club, was meeting there. Alex Jones even sent Wayne Madsen and David Knight down there, and they did these big reports. You can dig back into very, very goofy, almost Bohemian Grove-ish mystique of the place out there in the desert and then all the strange stuff with Scalia. So now you just had something happen with John Roberts before all these big Supreme Court rulings that just happened where everybody threw Roberts, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh under the bus. But Roberts had to cast a tying vote about an abortion bill. Very interesting. But then the whole gay LGBTQ stuff and all these big decisions that just got handed down. Well, guess what? Roberts had to spend some time in the hospital. He accidentally had a little fall. See, a lot of us didn't know that. Very interesting. You see a lot of these institutions, these politicians. Remember Harry Reid and a bunch of those guys coming up with black eyes and all that over the last few years? But let's keep listening. Ken, go ahead and play that second part.
All right, so we're just going to walk down a couple articles to try to go a little bit deeper into this story. The first one, this is number two. This story goes back to
February.
The next big abortion case comes down to John Roberts. Now, this is February. It's referring to the Louisiana case that was just decided by the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court ruled because of John Roberts voting pro-abortion, the Louisiana law that required abortion clinics in the state of Louisiana to have arrangements with local hospitals to admit patients.
Within 30 miles.
Within 30 miles. A very...
lenient, really.
Yes. And so he ruled against the state of Louisiana. He ruled in favor of the abortion clinics. But that story, that's February. The next big abortion case comes down to John Roberts. Well, that decision was issued just days after this mysterious attack.
Right.
Edward, what day was the Supreme Court? Do you know the day that they issued the decision on the Louisiana abortion law?
I believe it was on June 29th.
So eight days later. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, so that is the next one coming up. Number three, Supreme Court in 5-4 ruling strikes down restrictive Louisiana abortion law. That just happened a week ago. John Roberts joined with the court's pro-abortion judges to rule in favor of abortion clinics. 8 days after he was found bloodied with no explanation. Now, has anybody threatened Supreme Court justices, physically threatened them, that if they vote pro-life, something bad would happen to them? Has anybody threatened Supreme Court justices?
You mean
yes.
like terrorists, like anarchists? Is that what you're talking about?
Has anybody on the left issued a threat to Supreme Court justices and said, if you vote pro-life, we will get you. We will get you. I mean, do you remember a couple of years ago, back actually 2017, a U.S. senator saying, you know, the CIA's got 7 ways to Sunday to get even with you if you mess with them.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember
the intelligence agencies had 6 ways to Sunday.
6 ways, yeah.
6 ways
I
to Sunday.
I added one.
So
6 ways to Sunday.
Right.
Out of that intelligence we don't know about yet.
Yeah, I threw an extra one in for the whole week. All right. So there was a guy that said, President Trump better watch out. The CIA's got 6 ways to Sunday to get even. Well, that same U.S. senator made a threat against Supreme Court justices if they voted pro-life. Let's take a look at number four. This is this is actually the video. Let's watch it. This is the video of the senator from New York making a threat.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
You won't know what hit you.
You'll
you
pay
mean
the
like
price.
Something in the forehead?
Senator Schumer, where were you on the night of June 21st?
Where were his hitmen? How about his hitmen?
Now, the threats, of course, were against Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, but
you could stop it there. They were the... So you guys get the gist of that. Very fascinating. Ken, let's get clip one ready. We're going to talk about State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock, okay? 40%, basically, of all of corporate America is owned by these three entities. Let's go ahead and roll one.
Got some amazing news here. I'm going to cover several subjects as well as I can in the time we've got. Start off with this idea. Let's say a person is working for a mega corporation, big corporation. And when the lockdowns come along and the pronouncements and all of that about COVID, this employee wants to resist, make some kind of a public statement. But then he looks up at the CEO of the corporation, he knows who he is, and he discovers, lo and behold, that the CEO is sitting on the board of a major, major hospital, board of trustees. What does that mean? In real life terms, it means that the CEO is locked in to all kinds of people with conventional medical reality, the public health agencies, the CDC, the NIH, et cetera, et cetera. And there is no way that this CEO of this company is going to permit any rebellion against that within his own company. Okay? It's pretty clear, pretty obvious. Now, using that as a kind of analogy, you'll see an article that's up now at InfoWars. I haven't posted it yet on No More Fake News. Three men who control corporate America, who own corporate America. Three men. I mean, this is based on an article at The Conversation. And I cite it there in my article. It's a fantastic article. Who are these three men? Larry Fink, Joseph Hooley, and Mortimer Buckley. There you go. This is an answer to the question, why haven't American corporate CEOs resisted all of this insanity and fakery having to do with COVID and lockdowns and the destruction of the economy? These CEOs are supposed to be hard-charging men, ruthless pirates of old who do business, you know, no holds barred. They just fold up their tents and they go for bailouts right away. Why? Talking airlines, hotels, et cetera, et cetera. So let's look at these three men. Larry Fink, Joseph Hooley, Mortimer Buckley. Buckley is the CEO of the Vanguard Group. Hooley is the CEO of State Street. Fink is the CEO of BlackRock. Now, you may not have heard of any of these companies, but these companies are investment funds. They're financial services corporations. They invest incredible amounts of money from people who give them money to invest. Now, what else do we know about these three men? Well, curiously enough, and very interestingly, Buckley is a board member of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia from 2011 to 2017. I'm reading now. He was a chairman of the hospital's board of trustees. Hooley serves on the president's council of the Massachusetts General Hospital. And Fink is the co-chair of the NYU Langone Medical Center Board of Trustees. So these three men who are CEOs of these key corporations, Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street, are all completely wired in to consensus medical reality, which means pandemic, the lockdowns, the social distancing, the masks, the whole deal. Okay? So let's look at these companies. And now I am quoting from this article, fantastic article, in The Conversation of May 19th, 2017, called These Three Firms Own Corporate America. Together, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street have nearly $11 trillion in assets under management. We found that the big three, those three companies taken together, have become the largest shareholder in 40% of all publicly listed firms in the United States. So what about these 40%? These would be 1,600 American firms, okay, had a combined revenue of about $9.1 trillion in 2015 and employ more than 23.5 million people. Continuing to quote from the article, in the S&P 500, the benchmark index of America's largest corporations, the situation is even more extreme. Together, the big three, State Street, BlackRock, and Vanguard, are the three largest single shareholders in almost 90% of the S&P 500 firms, including Apple, Microsoft, ExxonMobil, General Electric, and Coca-Cola. And you could include, yes, banks in that as well. Getting the picture, folks? Getting the picture? What is undeniable is that these big three do exert the voting rights attached to these shares in these corporations. Therefore, they have to be perceived as the de facto owners by corporate executives. De facto owners of the corporations I just mentioned and of 40% of all firms listed publicly in
all
America.
All right, you can go ahead and stop the owners. That there. Boom. And that's been out there for 3 years. Fascinating stuff. I know we're on break here. We will see you guys last half hour coming your way.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus? For a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You approve firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Last half hour coming your way. So Amazing Polly did a thing on torture, and then Greg Reese did a video based on that, and then Deborah Tavares posted that on Stop the Crime on her channel. So we're going to go ahead and play a little bit of that now. Let's go ahead and roll clip 12.
This report is based on Amazing Polly's recent video, Is This Torture? In her video, Polly examines Amnesty International's 1973 report on torture and how it seems to reflect the current response to COVID-19. According to Amnesty International's report, torture is the systematic and deliberate infliction of acute pain in any form by one person on another in order to accomplish the purpose of the former against the will of the latter. The report then uses Biederman's chart of coercion to describe the technique. Psychologist Albert Biederman studied communist Chinese tactics known as DDD, debility, dependency, and dread. The CIA has been trained to use debility, dependency, and dread. And according to their 1983 Human Resource Exploitation Training Manual, many psychologists consider the threat of inducing debility to be more effective than debility itself. With DDD, the debilitated victim becomes dependent upon the torturer and develops a strong fear of anything vague or unknown. Biederman's chart of coercion lays out the design of DDD. Does any of this sound familiar? Number one, isolation. We see this with quarantines and social distancing and the prohibition of crowds and large gatherings. Number two, monopolization of perception. Corporate mainstream media has monopolized all of pop culture, and those on social media who challenge the mainstream narrative are censored. Also listed is restricted movement and monotonous food. Number three, induced debilitation and exhaustion. Gym closures, church closures, losing your job, school closings, and wearing masks all day long increase stress and provokes exhaustion and debilitation. Number four, threats. We are threatened that our own children may be taken away from our homes and that experimental forced vaccines are coming. We are told that more will die if we restart America. And we are threatened with tracking chips, contact tracing, and a new normal. Number five, occasional indulgences. Here we find fluctuations of interrogators' attitudes, such as BLM protests are good, Trump rallies are bad. Walmart is okay, but small businesses are not. The torturer will provide occasional indulgences such as rewards for partial compliance. If you just wear a mask, someday we can return to normal. Number 6, demonstrating omnipotence and omniscience. Shutting down the entire global economy was a pretty good demonstration of omnipotence. Huge fines and jail for people not wearing a mask. We see the omniscience with Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, and other official experts. Number 7 is degradation, being called non-essential or a science denier, being treated as ignorant fools and called names by celebrities for not complying. Number 8, enforcing trivial demands. This final step develops habits of compliance. Enforcement of minute rules such as standing 6 feet apart, following arrows, and showing support for violent BLM protests. Also, according to the report on torture, many victims become ill as a result of coercion, and more than half the illnesses listed in the report can be easily diagnosed as COVID-19, according to CDC guidelines. Do you really think that this is all a coincidence?
You could stop it there. Now, think about this neurolinguistic programming. And I just thought about this the other day. Dr. Fauci. Now, we know the pillars in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, the Roman fasci, right? The bundle of sticks tied together with an axe head at the top, the fasci, you're stronger, all tied together, blah, 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 blah. Fauci's name and then fasci. F-A-U-C-I, F-A-S-C-I. Two letters apart in the English alphabet, Fauci and fasci. You don't think that that's an NLP, that he gets thrown at the forefront? The fasci stand all over the place, and then we've get this little punk, Ronnie James Dio, without the wig, with a new wig. Anyway, so I want to get back into this mask thing, and this, I guarantee you, this report was taken off of Henry Mackow's site. Okay, this is from yesterday. COVID safety mirrors initiation into a satanic cult. Okay, that was an article put up yesterday. Well, this one just got dropped today. Ken, if you would roll clip 6 real quick.
First, we were told that wearing masks would do more harm than good, which is what the science still supports. But now, even as the COVID-19 pandemic is turning out to be less harmful than the seasonal flu, we are being told to wear the mask. Austin, Texas has threatened a $2,000 fine for those not wearing the mask, and have even suggested that we wear the mask while at home.
We still need people to wear the mask in public. We still need people to keep social distance and isolation. But Ryan, the one thing I want to try to get across today is we need to do that when we're in our homes also.
Science tells us that these masks are doing nothing but hurting our natural immune system. So why is it so important that we wear the mask? If one were to look at what is happening as if it were a massive initiation ritual, then things may begin to make more sense. The initiation ritual can be found throughout all of human history. We find it in ancient tribes and religions, all the way up to modern gangs, fraternities, and in the military. Psychological studies have taught us how initiation rituals work, primarily how they increase a person's desire to conform to the group they are being initiated into. The ritual is almost always the same. First, the initiate is isolated. Their familiar everyday routines are disrupted, and their normal rules of living are altered. The initiates are made to look the same. Their heads may be shaved, they may be given matching outfits, or they may be instructed to wear a mask. These techniques symbolically strip the initiate of their unique identity so they can cease seeing themselves as an individual and begin seeing themselves as part of the group. The wearer of the mask loses his previous identity and assumes a new one. The initiate is then subjected to just enough trauma to put them in a mild state of cognitive dissonance. This dissonance puts the initiate into a state of confusion and anxiety. They are now ready to be transformed into a member of the initiating group. In their isolation, thoughts they have ignored or buried for years suddenly become unavoidable. Emotions are triggered, and a new window of thought is opened within the initiate's mind. And in this state, the new normal is introduced. This worldwide initiation ritual is creating a massive separation in humanity. The obedient and the defiant are being drawn apart like a chemistry purification.
That's right. So, I mean, I've been thinking about all these kind of things that a lot of others are putting together, segments and articles and so forth and so on. The demeaning, the subjugation, the submission over stupidity. It's fascinating. So I got Angry Fan up. Coronavirus, COVID-19, Maxwell, Swiss doctor, Russ Bridger, Reigns, Lambeth, Bolsonaro, Serbia. But this is interesting. What is the real purpose of the lockdowns? In the UK, the number of prescriptions for midazolam, a powerful sedative that can kill the frail, doubled at the height of the coronavirus scamdemic. Number of prescriptions for the drug midazolam doubled, and that's in Daily Mail, blah, blah, blah. There's a belief that midazolam had been used to kill off old people in care homes. Official figures show out-of-hospital prescribing the drug increased by more than 100% in April 2020 compared to previous months. An anti-euthanasia campaigner has said that he suspects that the spike in deaths is evidence that many people have been put on end-of-life protocols or pathways, death panels. Retired neurologist Professor Patrick Pulicino, who raised concerns a decade ago that the Liverpool care pathway was bringing forward patients' deaths, believes the spike in deaths indicates something similar has happened. He said midazolam depresses respiration and it hastens death. It changes end-of-life care into euthanasia. So, 81% of deaths in Canada, nursing homes. Very fascinating, isn't it? So, what do your test results mean? CDC.gov. A positive test result shows you may have antibodies from an infection with the virus that causes COVID-19. However, there is a chance a positive result means that you have antibodies from an infection with the virus from the same family of viruses called coronaviruses, such as the one that causes the common cold. Excuse me. It's fascinating, isn't it? Nancy Pelosi vows to limit President Trump's pardon powers. So Clinton can pardon Mark Rich. Obama can Susan Rosenberg, who's now been connected to BLM, and then YouTube scrubs the Tucker Carlson piece connecting Ms. Rosenberg to BLM. So now Nancy Pelosi wants to limit the president's pardon powers, okay, after he commutes Roger Stone's sentence. Just interesting. I want to cover this here. So there's talking about this Idaho plane crash, okay? So there's a couple articles up on Sorcha Fall, okay? So one of them is basically CIA assassins inventing Ghislaine Maxwell capture fable kill 8 in Idaho plane disaster. All right.
Let's see. President Trump, CIA Director Haspel, Deputy Director CIA for Operations Elizabeth Kimber says that after their 8 June mission that crashed a U.S. Air Force cargo aircraft in Iraq that had fled from America with terrorist leaders on board, they redeployed to Paris, France, where on June 20th, the press discovered that the international child sex slaver Ghislaine Maxwell was hiding out in a luxury apartment near the Israeli embassy, an Israeli embassy protected by feared and deadly operatives belonging to the Institute for Intelligence and Special Operations, a.k.a. Mossad, the most protected place in the world for French citizen Ghislaine Maxwell to hide, as France does not allow any of its citizens to be extradited for any reason whatsoever. She's also the daughter of famed assassinated Israeli super spy Robert Maxwell, thus making it curious as to why this elite team of CIA commando assassins departed from Paris on June 30th and traveled to Peace Air National Guard Base located in New Hampshire. And even more perplexing, why the following day on July 4th, it was reported that Ghislaine Maxwell was captured and arrested at a remote New Hampshire estate. So, after which on 4th of July, this elite team of CIA commando assassins traveled from New Hampshire to the Mountain Home Air Force Base located in Idaho, where the following day on the 5th of July around 2:20 p.m. local time, an explosion occurred, taking down 2 planes and killing 8 people. And that article is in some KXLY, a local Idaho newspaper. Kind of interesting that you see how, Sorcha tests, ties some of this stuff together. Historic United States Supreme Court ruling builds religious castle able to withstand socialist siege. NFL races to sign Supreme Court justices called the world's best punters. World War III may happen first. Trump moves closer to war with China after a claim of children being sold in Wayfair ads explodes. A lot going on here. Let's see. We got a few minutes left. Ken, get clip 15 ready. This is Dr. Richard Bartlett. This went viral over this week about basically the ability to use nebulizer with a steroid, budesonide, I believe is the name of the drug, to cure. He says he can cure 100% of COVID patients or whatever this thing is, whatever this respiratory thing going on is. Okay, there's people talk about people dying with all these blood clots all over their body and so forth and so on. So it's worth a little listen. Let's go ahead and roll clip 15 real quick.
Available. So here you have, we have joining us in studio, our new friend, Dr. Richard Bartlett. Hello, sir.
Debbie, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
I'm grateful you could be here, and I would love to just have you dive right in. Since I don't really know you, have you start with telling our listeners about your medical background.
Well, I've been practicing in Texas for 28 years. When Governor Perry started a new task force called the Health Disparities Task Force, he asked me to be on that task force. And the purpose was to give him advice so that all Texans can have access to quality health care. And that was a 2-year appointment. After 2 years, he asked me, would you stay on one more year? And so that happened year after year for a total of 7 years. And a lot of good things happened. But I also have been the medical expert for CBS affiliate in West Texas for over 20 years. And I do a regular weekly update on COVID on the Talk 50, 550 AM talk radio in West Texas. And we've been doing that since the beginning of this drama.
Wow, okay.
And so I'm also an author and do medical missions in other countries. And so I've seen a lot of disaster all over the world. But I wanna say, echo everything that you said in your first 5 minutes, I agree 100%. We already have an answer for this. And to put things in perspective, let's look around the world. In the country of Taiwan, there's over 25 million people. They're stacked on top of each other. If they did social distancing, they'd be out in the ocean floating around.
Yeah.
There's not enough room for them to do social distancing. But guess how many people have died to date during the whole pandemic in Taiwan? 7. As many people as you can stack in a minivan going down Central Expressway. And so the next time your viewers see a minivan, think, oh, that's how many people have died in a country of 24 million people.
That now is I'm going to
tell you. Yes, and I'm going to tell you why that's the situation. It's the situation also in Japan. 121 million people in Japan. They've had less than 1,000 people die during the whole pandemic. Singapore, only 12 people have died in the whole country during the whole pandemic. Iceland, well, that's not possible according to what we're being told in the mainstream media, but that's reality. Anyone can look it up. You can even look at the Johns Hopkins COVID website and you'll see those numbers. They're hidden in there, but I'm pointing them out because the people in Texas need to hear good news. In Dallas, they need to hear good news, and I have good news.
I'm sure you do. Before I'm blown away by those numbers. I gave up trying to write them down. But you're going to tell us somehow eventually where we get to this point that in these other countries,
they're doing what I'm doing, Debbie.
Okay.
They're doing what I'm doing, which is not hydroxychloroquine, although that works. And so what they're doing is an inhaled steroid. And so my silver bullet is inhaled budesonide. The brand name originally was Pulmicort. Now it's generic. It's super cheap. It's about $200 for the total treatment if you pay cash. With insurance, many of my patients are not even having to pay for it. And you use a nebulizer machine. It's an asthma medicine. It's a respiratory anti-inflammatory for COVID, which is a respiratory inflammatory disease. And it works. 100% of my patients are alive. I've been treating this since March. And you use it for 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes to do a breathing treatment. You plug it in the machine in the wall. You put the medicine that's pre-mixed, pre-measured from the pharmacy into the little reservoir. You push the on button and you breathe it during 5 minutes
you
during the commercial.
You just have a mask in your face and breathe.
You don't even have to have a mask. You can use a little mouthpiece that you hold in front of you.
Okay.
And you breathe it for 5 minutes. And I have, let me tell you what I've heard from patients when I started using this. They tell me, I feel better during the first treatment. And so their chest pain goes away. Their shortness of breath goes away. Their fever breaks. I'll give you an example. I have a patient who has two kinds of cancer. She calls me after 5 days of being flat on her back in her house, in the bed, can't get out of bed. Fever won't break for 5 days. She says, I heard you on the radio, and would you please help me? It's on a Friday. She says, my granddaughter tested positive today, and I think I have it. And I said, I'm sure you do with all the symptoms you're describing. She is currently fighting two forms of lymphoma. Mm. She's on chemotherapy right now. She just had radiation a month before for the lymphoma. She should die according to what you hear from the CDC and World Health Organization. But I gave her that treatment that night. In the morning, her fever had broke. She had her first good night's sleep. Over the weekend, she recovers. On Monday, she works an 8-hour day. She still is fighting cancer, two forms of cancer, but she's cured of COVID. She's symptom-free. She has her two consecutive negative tests. That's a cure.
Okay. Can you say the name of the drug again?
Budesonide.
Budesonide. And so is it done in an inhaler?
It's an inhaler. And so it does actually come as an inhaler, but I'm using it in a nebulizer machine. You know, you see preschool kids use this. It's safe that it's so safe. It's been out for over 20 years. It's been used on 2-pound premature babies safely without batting an eye. And the fragile elderly in nursing homes for over 20 years, there's no reservations with it. It doesn't cause any cardiac risk, like the accusation of hydroxychloroquine as a risk of heart trouble, although that's ridiculous to make that accusation. This one doesn't even have that risk. And so I give that and an antibiotic to protect from secondary bacterial pneumonia. But let's talk about what COVID is. It's a respiratory virus that goes into the lungs, binds to ACE receptors in the lungs, and that triggers the release of inflammatory chemicals, and we call it a cytokine storm. That's a fancy word for inflammatory chemicals and enzymes that are released in the total body. And so with COVID, we have a killer that's never been around before. It is killing some people if they're not treated. And so for 50% of the people, they get it and they don't even know they had it. 50% of the people don't even know. But for the 20% that are at risk, there are treatments. We already have an answer. Let me tell you, you're right.
All
Taiwan,
right, you can go ahead and stop it there.
24 million people, they don't.
You guys got it. Budesonide, if, you know, bombshell to today, Mike Adams, of course, COVID-19 infection rate
maybe 440% higher in people that got the flu shot, blah, 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 blah. Coming up on the end of the broadcast here, Gavin Newsom, this on Dave Hodges. Gavin Newsom holds the key to dismantling of the United States. Okay. Gets into various movements, which are demonstrative attempts to withdraw us from amounts to be a foreign country. La raza, la reconquista de Aztlan. And it gets into them being $185 billion in the hole. Basically, can't even pay its 2 million jobless claims. So we'll see what happens with the CalPERS pension system very soon. We'll see what's going on. They're going to release 8,000 dangerous inmates over the next 5 weeks. So buckle up, folks. Who knows what's going to happen. But stay on point. See you guys next week.
And the mortar lights out in the dirt. They laid me this path, no direction but hurt.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.